1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Did you do something to the headphones? This is the Phil Henry Show. What's up with these? Well, these are my old headphones. No wonder. Can I have the old ones back? I ought to share with the audience what happened to these headphones. I mean, it's very embarrassing, but maybe I should, because I should tell on myself. I should publicly flay myself for this. I got angry last week, and I took my headphones. These are Sony. No, these are AKG. These are my favorite headphones. These are AKG. They are the K240 monitors. They're made in Austria. They're terrific. They're the best broadcast headphone I've ever used, and I've been using these probably for the last 6 or 7 years, and I threw them on the ground and broke the freaking things. We lost a part, so we had to have them. When I say we had to have them fixed, Craig very nicely had them fixed. And in the meantime, I was using yours, Mike, and I actually like yours better. So I think I'm going to throw these out the window again. And can I borrow yours? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. The interesting piece of census news: every 10 years, I should say, we have a census, and 2000 was no different. The first demographic details to emerge from the 2000 census shows the Hispanic population in the United States is now roughly equal to that of the African-American population. And so, as a minority group, Hispanics are rapidly becoming the largest, most populous minority group in America, and not necessarily and now they're not the smallest. They are equal, roughly equal to that. In status, they will be as big, if you will, as African Americans in terms of minority status. Brass Villanuevas from Los Malos, which is a Chicano empowerment organization located in Los Angeles, to talk about this. Brass, how are you?
I'm real good, Phil. We did hear the information you are just talking about, and we're okay. Going through that information right now.
Well, how does that make you feel? Just from the can you hold on for a minute, Brass?
Sure.
I got to just talk to my engineer. I'm seeing bus 2. There's a VU meter popping around on bus 2 here. Let me go back to Brass. Brass, you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay, so what do we got going on here? Anyway, so how does that news strike you?
I have to tell you that, right now, we're a little bit distressed by that. I mean, it's good and it's also bad.
It's good and bad. Why, for the Hispanic community, being equal in number to African Americans is good and bad. How?
The news is distressing. As a Chicano Empowerment Outreach Political Action Committee, we know that our strength is in our minority status. We no longer have that power. We no longer have the power, to be a minority on the move. We no longer have the power of the downtrodden and the oppressed, all right? We were the smallest minority. We could talk about people, we could talk about how people were abusing us, and Edward James Olmos and Jennifer Lopez and Jimmy Smith and Lou Diamond Phillips, they'd all come out and talk about how messed up everything was, and people would pay fairly close attention. But now we have as many people in our community as black people. And so Los Malos is sending a message out right now that we are feeling that we're no longer a fringe community. And
well, wait a minute. African Americans are and Hispanics are now roughly equal in number. That's a bad thing for Hispanics, you're saying?
In some way, we feel that it is, because the rising empowerment of...
How can that be bad? If you're increasing in number, don't you increase in influence?
Mr. Henry, the rising empowerment of Hispanics is also tragic. Most Hispanics who are native-born do not speak Spanish. I'm Hispanic, and the embarrassment for me and people like me for not speaking Spanish will be exacerbated, because there are a lot of native-born Hispanics.
Well, how many Hispanics, even native-born, don't speak Spanish?
I don't know the rough number, but I don't. And what I'm saying is that when we were a minority, I could talk a little bit more about how the white man had raped away from me all knowledge of siestas. I used to know all about Day of the Dead and Cinco de Mayo. I don't know that no more.
Look, the rising influence of the Hispanic community...
Let me finish my point before you make yours, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
The point I think that's important to make is that as a member of the Hispanic community, now there's a lot of Hispanics. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of Hispanics because their numbers are growing due to the over the last 10 years due to the rising immigration population, and then there's just more Hispanic people.
Right, but what you don't, while you can quote those figures, you don't know what that's doing to me and other Hispanics like me who want to empower my people, but I don't speak Spanish.
You want to empower your people, but you don't speak Spanish.
No, you know, I know you think that's funny and everything.
Well, I don't think it's funny. I don't get what you're saying. You say you don't have enough...
I don't have enough knowledge right now of my people to help lead my people, and right now there are more of my people than ever before. And that puts a spotlight on me because...
You mentioned you don't know enough about Day of the Dead and siestas.
Those are aspects of Chicano culture, mi barrio, mi raza. And, you know, you are Anglo, and I don't know that you're qualified to speak about hotels and Tijuana and things like that, you know, because...
Wait a minute. I know all about Day of the Dead because I've been to Mexico, and I know what that festival is. What are you...
That's something that I think is embarrassing. I think it's racist in a lot of ways for you to bring that up.
Why is that racist?
Because you are not Hispanic, and you know more about Day of the Dead than I do. Okay,
well... Day of the Dead is a celebrate... All right.
Why don't we back up a little bit?
Yeah, let's back up a little bit. I'm embarrassing you because I know more about siestas than you do, and you're Hispanic.
That's correct. And it's also embarrassing, I think, to have that many more Mexicans in America because right now they don't realize... See, you think that... You know, it's frustrating for me. You're trying to point out my shortcomings and make me look foolish. That's all
I'm not trying to make you look foolish. I'm trying to understand your point of view. The increase in number of Hispanics in America makes you look bad because you were born here and you don't speak Spanish.
I'm saying that right now Los Malos is trying to empower our people, but in order for me to be a leader, I need to know about native foods and the mission system. And I don't know about that yet.
All right. In order for you to become a empowered Hispanic, you need to know about siestas and Cinco de Mayo, and you don't know that.
No, I do not. And you, the thing, you know, it's embarrassing for me. You say that Jose Cuervo's bad tequila?
Yes.
How did you know that?
Because I've drunk good tequila. That's how.
See, you know that, and you're Anglo, and that part I think is unfair.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, talking to Brass Villanueva of the Los Malos. He is distressed over the fact that Hispanics and blacks are, there's almost as many Hispanics as there are blacks now because he can't speak Spanish. And as a result, what are you saying, Brass, as a result of that?
As a result of that, you're pointing it out, okay? I just wanted to be able to lead my people, but I can't lead my people. Now there's more people out. Man, I'm so... It just makes me sad, man. That's all I...
What makes you sad? You can't speak Spanish, so you can't lead your people, and there's more Hispanics than ever before.
I won't be spoken to like that. All right? I will not be spoken to...
Sir, I just want to get the gist of what you're telling me. You don't speak Spanish.
I don't know anything about... I went to the Mission Tortilla Factory down at the New California Adventure, because they have a Mission Tortilla exhibit. And I was talking to them... I said, what's up? And they're all, I don't know nothing about it, you know?
Well, all right, go down to the... If you think that knowing more about your people is knowing more about the Mission Tortilla Factory down at the California Adventure theme park, go down there and learn more about it. Go down and learn more about tequila. Learn how to speak Spanish.
I don't need an Anglo telling me how to do it, okay?
Then go talk to a Hispanic guy who will tell you about it. But if you want to lead your people, it would seem to me that you need to know how to speak Spanish.
And I don't think you understand the struggle that my people have been through. And
the struggle that the Hispanic people have been through in this country has probably been made much worse by the significant minority status they had up to this point. And now there are as many Hispanic people as there are African American. It won't be long before California, for instance, and Texas, states right now that have a significant Hispanic population.
See, listen how intelligently you talk about it, and I feel like I don't know anything about siestas. See what I'm saying? You're talking all about it, and I couldn't even...
All right. Corn tortillas. You know...
And you're also being sarcastic, and I think that's racist.
Well, you're the guy that brought up the Mission Tortilla Company. Try corn tortillas with your scrambled eggs, okay?
Again, you're being racist and you're being insulting.
Well, I don't mean to be racist. I don't mean to be insulting. But I do mean to point out what I think is an argument that's roundabout. You're Hispanic. You want to lead your people. Learn how to speak Spanish. You don't even know how to speak Spanish.
I do know Miraza.
All right, let's go to a guy named Morris in Augusta, Maine to talk about Hispanic issues, shall we?
Sure.
All right, here is Morris. Hi, Morris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
What? You're not even Hispanic, sir?
What's that?
You are not even Hispanic?
Am I Hispanic?
Yes, sir.
No, I'm not.
All right, sir, I fail to see how you could address the issues of my people, Miraza.
Okay. I'm sorry, but you are not making any sense whatsoever. You want to blame white people or anybody else for the fact that, obviously, I guess you haven't done your homework, found out what a siesta is or anything else.
Miraza,
you need to learn how to speak Spanish. And then you can go ahead and do that, but don't blame me. Don't blame the white people. Don't blame the radio talk show host. I mean...
Well, I will tell you this. I don't mean to blame the radio talk show host, but the white man beat all knowledge of tortillas and the whole Cinco de Mayo thing. They beat it. They raped it out of me.
Tell me how they did that.
Because in school, they kept talking about George Washington and all of these neo-fascist colonialists that helped keep my people down.
Hey, dude, welcome to America.
And that's not fair.
Welcome to America.
Why didn't they talk about the tortilla system? Why didn't they talk about...
Wait a minute. Washington was the first president of the United States. We're going to replace him with a discussion of the merits of flour and corn tortillas?
That's my people. You two white dudes, you can talk about George Washington. See, that's all I'm saying.
That's American history, guys. American history.
What about how come I don't know nothing about my culture? Thomas Jefferson had a Hispanic housekeeper. I don't know anything about that.
Got a computer? Look it up.
Why don't they teach it in school?
Why don't they teach it in school? They probably teach it in Mexican school.
Why don't I know how to speak Spanish?
For the same reason I'm French. My parents are French Canadian, and I don't know how to speak French.
It was my fault, not anybody else's. So the French was raped out of you?
No, it wasn't raped out of me. It wasn't taught to me by my parents.
Because the colonial British raped all the French right out of you.
Oh, you are.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
All right,
I
look.
I am French Canadian. I am not.
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay?
Then you got the French raped it out of you.
I chose not to learn French. Okay, I chose not to learn it.
They teach
it in school. I could have learned it, but I chose not to. Okay, I would love to
learn how to speak Spanish, but. It is embarrassing for me as a Chicano. I don't even know. I don't know which freeway exactly it is to Tijuana. Those are the things that I don't know.
And you take Interstate 5 to San Diego.
See, you know that.
Whose fault is that?
That is embarrassing.
Is that my fault?
This white man here knows how to get to Tijuana. See what I'm saying? Okay.
But all right. How is that his fault?
Yeah,
it embarrasses you because. You don't have the knowledge.
Well, I think your point is very well made, Morris. He's blaming me because he doesn't know which interstate goes to San Diego. 1-800, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. You see the problem that we are facing here. We are talking with Brass Villanueva. He is with Los Malos, which is a Chicano Empowerment Political Action Committee organization. As it says in the brochure here, they are upset with the Hispanics having equal status with blacks as the most populous minority in America now, because the more power Hispanics have, the more stupid he looks that he can't speak Spanish. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry here with Brass Villanueva from Los Malos. We're talking about the day's news, and today the news is that the Hispanic community, the Hispanic population of America, is now equal in number to African Americans, which means that they are no longer a minority second in number to African Americans, to one time African Americans, the number one minority in America, whatever that. What? How significant is that, Brass?
To be number one minority in America means that, okay, that you have more profile, you have a bigger profile, okay?
And so what's wrong with, you say it embarrasses you because you can't speak Spanish.
I have looked up a few phrases that I wanted to learn because if Hispanic people are going to be led by me, and I think they should be led by me because I'm proud of my people. It's just that I can't, I don't know things. Soy orgulloso, morón, estúpido, un niño is a phrase I just learned on Babelfish.
What does that mean?
I'm a proud brown man.
Soy orgulloso, morón, estúpido, un niño.
That's right.
I'm a proud brown man.
That's correct, yes, sir.
All right, let's go to Ruby on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Ruby, go ahead.
Is this guy for real?
Are you? Yeah, exactly. Because estúpido means stupid.
Yes, exactly.
No, that's not the information I have.
Well, let me ask you something. Well, what
proud
is the name of your
group? A proud, stupid brown man?
See, that's the racism that I don't need, Mr. Henry, from you.
Sir? Sir, what don't is the name of your group?
Los Malos, the bad. We are bad.
Okay. And are you not trying to empower your people? And I'm Hispanic, by the way, just so you understand that.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yes, I do.
Okay, how come you get to?
Because I learned it.
How come you get to? And I
because
don't even know.
Because I learned it, and that's what I'm asking you. If you're talking about empowerment, empowerment means to empower yourself to grow.
I got invited to my 5-year-old nephew's birthday, and there's going to be a thing, and I'm so embarrassed because I don't know what the thing you hit with a stick. What is that about? You know? Yeah.
I cannot believe
pinata.
That you are for
real. It's pinata. You know what a pinata is.
Pinata, exactly.
She says I'm not for real. The Hispanic community is for real. The fact that we are a
well, how can you lead them if you don't know anything about it? I guess
know, that's right. I want to learn, but the white man raped away everything.
And how do you think that you're?
Tortillas, everything.
How do you think that you're going to learn? When's the last time you went to a library?
I would go to a library, but the white man doesn't want me to go to one. Don't you understand? He'd much rather I wash his car. Much rather I vacuum his rug.
Let me tell you something.
And I don't know corn. What do you use, a corn tortilla? You know, everything. That's it.
What does she use, a corn tortilla? What you're talking
this
about this...
This guy is not for real. I mean, somebody
exactly,
has
man.
Him.
What's the story? Did somebody put you up to this?
This exactly.
You want to know something? That is an insult, and this lady who claims to be Hispanic, who is buying into that kind of insulting talk, as if I'm a fraud. The fraud being conducted here is by the American people and the Hispanic community.
I think what you're trying to say when you're saying that the minority, us being a minority no longer, as in where
what
we
you,
were, and now we are,
and
there are not as many federal funds, there is not as many funding available
to
us
system.
Now.
Junipero Serra and all that stuff.
Will you just let her finish? I use, by the way, a corn tortilla.
And you're a white man. And you know all about tortilla. The fraud that's being perpetrated against my people, the fraud of the white man to ignore us.
Yes, I know about... Thank you, Ruby. I know about a corn tortilla. That makes me what, racist?
I think it's racist of you to know that before I do. And that,
all right, hold on. Here is Pat on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
All right, hold on for a minute. Let's go to line two. Antonio, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Antonio.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
And I'm from the Brown Braids of Watsonville chapter. We are...
Viva la Raza.
Yeah, this guy is not even for real.
What are you
talking? I'll tell you that much. Being Hispanic has nothing to do about corn tortillas, horse and cuervo, knowing your way to TJ. It has to do...
How come the white man gets to know all that, and I don't, and I love my people?
Man... Being Hispanic, if this country is a melting pot, being a minority Hispanic now going up to, you know, being a more majority, it's a good thing.
Well, I know it's a good thing, but now we have the voice, and I don't know what Santa Barbara means. Is that?
But who are you to, hey, I'm Hispanic, hey, I'm not picking you, trust me, to lead my people. My people's not my people.
Antonio,
we are United States of America.
Antonio, can you hold on for just a moment?
Yeah.
We'll get back to you. We need to take a commercial break. You too, Brass. It's Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686 with Brass Villanueva from Los Malos, talking about the census information that Hispanics are now the largest, are tied with African Americans as the largest minority group in America, and you don't like that.
No, number one, Mr. Henry, I love that my people now have extra influence.
Well, then what are you complaining about? You say you're Hispanic, you can't speak Spanish.
No, what I'm saying is this. I think that we all need to be brought up to speed. Before we are the number one minority group, I need to be brought up to speed. A lot of Hispanic Americans need to. I'm not the only one. I don't, and this is very, very painful for me to say to you, but I don't even like Mexican food. I can't get it down, some of it, you know. And
all right, well, hold on. You can't get Mexican food down and you're a proud Hispanic.
But that's not racist. You're trying to be racist. And I'm not a racist, okay?
I'm not being racist. You're the guy that said you're a proud Hispanic. You don't even like Mexican food. Let me go back to Antonio, who was hanging on there. Antonio, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, what in L.A., what's your organization called again?
Los Malos.
Me and about 600 of my colleagues have gone to L.A. to do the United Chico Chicano conferences, and I've never heard of your organization. Why is that?
Because we're relatively new. Right now, we're grassroots. We're trying to get our stuff together.
Man, your own people probably don't even respect you if they're telling you you're a pendejo. You're dumb.
See, I don't even know what that means.
Exactly. How can you lead?
I know what pendejo means.
See, this white man knows what pendejo means. I don't know what it means. That's racist.
How is
that's
it racist?
Racism comes from you feeling.
See, like bean burrito.
Bean burrito.
I don't even like bean burrito.
Okay, you being Mexican, have you heard of the saying, with the bean, you get the whole burrito? Have you heard that one?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well,
that's
being
what
Hispanic
taco
and being Boulevard. A minority, it can only help us. It could only bring us together, give us more of a voice in our country.
Okay,
because there is racism out there, but we as a people don't need you to represent us. Because you know what, man? You don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what the culture's about. You don't even know burrito, tacos, Jose Cuervo has nothing to do with Hispanic culture. Whole culture is about being oppressed, coming up, trying to get along with others.
How come
racism?
Well, I had ordered brown berets and the UPS hasn't delivered it yet.
Excuse me?
We ordered our brown berets, and UPS hasn't got them to my house yet.
Okay.
The beret? You know.
Wait a minute.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're saying?
What? Man, how can you authentic Mexican food when it's filled with dog meat and everything?
Mexican food? Man, being a Hispanic, you're not talking about the right subject, man.
We're talking
about minorities becoming more in the majority, right?
Right. I'm talking about our people.
Okay. It has nothing to do with food. It has nothing to do with Cuervo. It has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with people united as a one.
Can I just ask you one question?
Yes, go ahead.
Do you know how to get to TJ, right?
Man, everybody knows how to get to TJ. You must be dumb if you don't know how to get to TJ.
Then why
don't you?
Why don't I?
I don't.
Why don't I? You, man, how can you lead? How can you lead us into the future if you don't even...
Well, I mean, all I'm trying to say, you used a bad word, man.
Hey.
You know, that's not good. That's not cool.
Look it, the guy used a bad word in association with you not knowing where to find a map, a Rand McNally map, at a gas station to help
99
you
99 cents, my brother. 99 cents.
So that's got nothing to do with my company.
Don't get that 24-ouncer. Don't get that 32. Get that 99 cents. Go up there. Get yourself a map. Learn where Mexico is. From there, you could go to Mexico. Man, you can learn everything you wanted to do. But we're talking about Hispanics being a minority.
That's a cold
jumping
shot,
to be a majority.
That's a cold shot you took on me, man.
Man, there's nothing cold. The only thing cold shot I've been giving you is maybe hitting you with the 40 across the head because you're so dumb.
Hitting you with the truth, okay, Brass?
Exactly, Mark. And,
all right, I'll take truth from Antonio because he's one of my people, okay? But you are...
My people, man. Let me tell you this much. Where's your family from?
My father was originally worked for IBM in Mexico City, but then they brutally transferred him to L.A.
Hey, that's so good, isn't it? He's making cash now. He's making dollars.
It was a brutal transferring him from my native land.
Okay, where were you born at?
I was born in Encino.
Encino, California?
Yeah.
You are an American citizen. You should be proud.
That's the tragedy of my life.
Tragedy? Wait. Go live in Mexico making $5 a week. How would you like that? You couldn't even afford a phone. I bet you would be calling a damn phone from one of those toll booths, charging you like 30 pesos a minute. Come on now. Well, you should be happy that you're Hispanic, born in America, be able to educate yourself, be able to, you know, your ancestors.
How come IBM brutally transferred my old man?
How come IBM? What? So you're going to go what? Be all pissed off at IBM because you're an American citizen?
Well, I just think it was brutal the way they transferred my father.
Brutal? They transferred him from Mexico City to L.A. How is it brutal?
Okay, you don't even know because you're the white talk show host.
Hey, man, I'm Hispanic. I love white people. We all get along.
I mean, what's up with they raped him away from his home country.
Well, raped from his own country.
Where's your father?
Well, what did he lose?
Where's your father from?
My father's from San Diego.
Well, who exactly in your family is from Mexico?
Well, okay, brother.
Come on.
That's a cold shot you're laying on me, man.
No, no. Hey, man, if they ask me where my dad's from, it's only going to take me a second because I know.
You must
be a crack shot, you know?
Where's your dad from?
My family, my dad's from Jalos Totitlan, Jalisco.
Okay, now see, you know what's sad about that is I don't know if that's Mexico or not.
Yes.
Jalisco
is a Mexican state.
It's a Mexican state.
And why does the white man know that and I don't?
Well, you're dumb. I'm telling you, you're dumb. It has nothing to do with the white man, black man, orange man, blue man knowing. It has the fact that you don't know. What the hell are you trying to talk about? You're trying to lead my people if you don't know what the Jalisco is. I don't know where Mexico is. I don't even know what a burrito is. Probably you don't even know what a burrito is.
You do? Okay, you know, here's the whole thing that I think is sad about all of this, okay?
No, the only thing that's sad about this is you got your little...
They raped
ain't real.
They raped me away.
Ain't real.
Well, okay, man.
We came out of the struggle, UFW. Cesar Chavez in Salinas, California, did for our country what nobody could ever do.
Do you got any extra bomb berets that you could mail to us?
Oh, man, we got one.
Okay, they got...
We ain't going to give you any. You're too dumb.
You laughing, white man. One of these days you'll be crying.
Whatever that means. Is that a threat?
No, I'm just saying, when I learned... You know,
when you learn what's in a bean burrito, maybe you'll give me a call and show me what's up, huh?
I think it's a cold shot.
You heard what the guy said. It's not a cold shot. He's hitting you with the truth, like he was trying to tell you. Eugene on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what school you went to not to know not to learn Spanish.
I went to high school, Sherman Oaks High School, California.
Now, I'm born and raised in Chicago.
Right.
Now, here it is. We took Spanish in school. Now,
well, they did teach Spanish, but...
They do.
That was under the brutal colonialist
system.
It's
the same, and you talking about that you don't know so much about your culture. Why are you sitting up here whining about it, and won't you just get off your butt and pick up a book and learn about your culture?
You know what it is? You're African-American. You're all pissed off.
I'm an African-American. Not to sit up here and whine and blame the white man for what he done. Well, I mean, if anybody should be crying, it should be us. But I'm not dwelling off that.
I'm trying to be a good Mexican.
But we're not dwelling off that, sir. That what I'm saying is the same as Malcolm X. It's the same as Malcolm X. He sat in jail and learned about his culture. It's the same. He went back to Mexico and learned about his culture. Did he not do that?
Did you, how about if you go back to Mexico?
I went to Cancun. We were in Cancun last February.
And how long did you stay there?
Well, the Sheraton messed up our reservation.
Wait a minute.
Okay, see, you laugh. The white man laughs.
No,
my own people laugh at me.
Wait a minute. It's funny.
He's talking about Malcolm X going to Mecca to learn the fundamentals of his religion and culture. You go to Cancun and the Sheraton messed up your reservation?
Oh, you think that's... I went to Cancun to learn about my culture. And then we had to go down to... I think we went to the Marriott. But I did learn some salsa dance. I don't know, man. I'm all impressed.
But what I'm saying...
You like Mexican food?
Let's take it back a little bit. It's the same way as Mexican food.
Right.
It's the same way it's about soul food.
Mi barrio.
It's the same way. It's the same way we call it soul food because when we cook it, it's coming from the soul. It's expressing from our heart.
What about Cabo Wabo? See, that's our tequila.
But it's besides the point. You looking at the whole, how are you going to speak about food and you don't know nothing about your culture? The heart and the root is your culture, you are.
I believe in starting
small. But do you know who you are?
That's what I
know.
I don't.
Who you are.
No, I don't.
I mean, and I'm 29 years old.
But if I drink enough tequila, maybe I'll learn.
I have not attended college, but I know who I am as a man.
You know, you call it the hood. You call it the hood. I call it me body.
I'm not sitting up here whining or crying about what the white man did and what he done. That's back in the day. I'm not going to blame the talk host about what happened.
Well, the talk host,
he was not born in
the day.
So what is you whining about?
Let me ask something, Brass. What's in a bean burrito?
That's just it. I don't know.
How about beans, man?
And a bean burrito is a different flavor.
Beans.
You can have beef and beans. You can have what?
Ain't there beans in it?
Yeah, there's beans in it. When I ask you what's in a bean burrito, why wouldn't you say beans are in a bean burrito?
Because I thought you were trying to trick me.
But here.
Yeah, there you go. I'm the white. Okay, look at
this.
Eugene,
would it sound like nobody's trying to trick you. You're trying to trick yourself.
Trick yourself. Thank you. Okay.
So I guess that's the end of the conversation because you're going to kill. You know, it's all over now. We're going to move on to some white subject, huh?
We're going to move on to a white subject. Where's Grant buried? 1-800-449-8686.
I know that's Grant's tomb.
There you go. What's in a bean burrito? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, and we will talk more about all the other stuff that's going on in the world. But first, you know, during commercial breaks around here, we like to get together and discuss the things that are important to us, myself, Mike, Melissa, Craig, and certainly, as you know, the number one topic of discussion that's generally going to come up is where is your cat crapping these days? And in Melissa's house, her cat is crapping all over her fiancé's office work. Hey, now here's the thing, the cat's still alive. They haven't killed it yet. I remember we had a cat, and she's no longer with us. I don't know what happened to her. Something about putting her in a burlap sack, I can't remember now. But anyway, we had a cat. Maria was doing some work one day, and she had clipped out some articles from a newspaper and laid them out on the floor in her office so she could see where everything was. The cat comes up and takes a leak on all of it. Almost as if to say, you're not allowed to be a human and have fun. And of course, when you took your cat, apparently Melissa's cat crapped all over Mark's Beatles anthology book. And the vet that they took the cat to couldn't understand it because he says, I have that book. I love it. Our cat was probably just jealous of the fact that Maria had a job. And so just went up and peed all over the stuff. It was just like I told you about the other cat that the one we have now, Mittens. And it had a cat box. It was in Maria's office, and Maria would start her show every morning at 9 o'clock. She did a broadcast from her show from her office to Sacramento. So every morning at 9, she was about to start her show and go on the air for Sacramento. And the cat would go in there about a minute before 9 and squeeze off. Oh, a fairly decent-sized log, and just leave it in there and then split, and then Maria's about to hit the air, and the room fills with this corrosive stench. And the cat's over the corner just going, you know, like, and you know they did it on purpose. You know they're an animal. You know they're not anthropomorphic. You know they couldn't possibly have feelings of vengeance or mischievousness in their heart. But they did! And she did, and they do. So our cat now is such a fat tub of guts Mittens, this is the one that dumped in the box. Well, now that we don't, Maria doesn't do her show from the house anymore. Well, now what is it? What's the cat going to do now? Now the cat throws up all over the floor where I've got my favorite pool table. And she does this not because she's sick, because we've had her to the vet. No, she's fine. I said, why is she throwing up, doctor? Because she's, she's a gluttonous pig. Because she just eats until she pukes. We have a cat now that just eats until she throws up. Because that's, and we keep the bowl full of food because God forbid we should let the food drop below a certain level. God forbid the food goes below 3/4 of a bowl or the cat's meowing, meow, meow, all in the middle of the night. You ever heard a cat in heat meowing outside, that wail that they do? Our cat does it in the house when she's hungry. So she eats until she vomits. That's the kind of fat, Caligula-like, Nero-like, Roman orgy-like cat that we have. It's bulimic. It binges and purges. Our cat. Not to mention the fact, if we don't buy the $86,000 per pound cat crap powder, that whatever that, that sand that you buy to put them in the cat box. Oh, Johnny Cat? No. Johnny Cat isn't good enough for her. Johnny Cat, well, that would be inexpensive. That would be affordable. That would be something that would actually keep the family budget in line. No. We got to go over to PetSmart and buy. See, PetSmart, God bless PetSmart and all those places. But the fact of the matter is, once you introduce a $600 a pound cat crap powder, then people will buy it. And then the cats will get onto it, and they'll know it's available, and they won't crap at anything other than that. You see what I'm saying? Why come out with cat crap sand that costs $80? Because then the cat will say, hey, this is cool. I will only crap in that now and nothing else. Now that means I got to buy that stuff. Because we got Johnny Cat. She won't. She'll take a dump right in the middle of the living room rather than use Johnny Cat. I think PetSmart's sending a check to my cat. I don't know about yours. I think my cat's got some kind of an endorsement deal with PetSmart. I only crap in, whatever the hell is stuff. Queen Elizabeth sand. It's Queen Elizabeth cat. Because you won't crap in that Johnny Cat. And Johnny Cat is an affordable thing. Which is, I love Johnny Cat. Grew up with Johnny Cat. I used to crap in Johnny Cat myself. But my cat will not use it. And so, as a result, we have to go out and buy that stuff. Now, one good thing about our cat, she won't eat any of that Sheba. We don't give her any of that canned stuff. God forbid I should give her that canned jazz. The next thing I'm going to have to be, slicing off thin pieces of beef tenderloin for her. So we only feed her that, the dry stuff. Cat chow. Whatever it is. Purina or something. I tend to overspend on it. Maria will just get the basic Vons brand. She gets the generic. Here, feed it that. What are you doing? Well, I thought maybe she'd like some diversity. Oh, you thought she'd like some diversity. So you go out and you get the Purina Cat Chow, which ain't cheap. But, she's just a piece of work, man. And now she's loud. And, of course, she sleeps wherever she wants to. And she's sleeping everywhere now. She's on my bed now. See, I don't let no cat sleep on my bed. This doesn't happen at our house. But Maria lets her up there, so now she's crashing on the bed. And Maria's out of town for a couple of days, so I'll be like, yeah, I got the bed to myself for a couple of days. It's not bad, Wake up, the cat's there. Which is, weird, disquieting. So, yeah, so we got to kill ourselves a cat. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, the number of the Phil Henry Show, and we've made $113,717 with the sale of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000. CD and album. I also would like to encourage you to visit josephwolf.com, josephwolf.com. Nice kid, guy that listens to our show. Joe's in a little bit of trouble. Visit his webpage. This is the Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Henry Show. I just saw this Andy Williams, this kid Charles Andrew Williams. He was in court here just a minute ago. I saw his picture on television, and they had some live feed from San Diego County. I guess is where they're doing the arraignment. This is the kid accused of shooting up his school there in Santee the other day. And the newsman said the father wasn't in the courtroom, the mother wasn't in the courtroom. If you look at this kid, I don't know what it is. For some reason, I feel sorry for this kid. Where's that Klebold piece of crap? I couldn't have cared about those guys. What is that? I bet you a lot of people feel the same way that I do. I don't know. Bobby Dooley is with the Western Estates Parent Teachers Association, and we bring her on to talk about this. I know you're the mother of three boys, Bobby, and you're probably, your heart must just absolutely ache, I would think, for these families and for the family that family of this boy.
You know something, Phil? We do very much. Our hearts go out to this young man and to the young man's family. While we, by the way, I don't know whether you wanted to play my music or not. And
yeah, I just got the word from Melissa that we needed to put your music up, so.
Because I really just would rather have it.
Okay, and
and do the intro.
Okay, this is Southern California Lifestyles now with Bobby Dooley.
Hi everyone, I'm Bobby Dooley and welcome to Southern California Lifestyles. Today we're going to talk about the Santee shootings.
Do you need to sound...
What?
I mean, you don't want to... Can we kill the mute? All right, just...
Go ahead and turn it down.
Just turn the music down.
What?
Well, I think it's inappropriate. Go ahead.
I don't know what you're referring to. I don't hear the music.
Is that enough music? We're talking about the Santee shootings. I don't think it's appropriate.
All right.
So go ahead with the statement you wanted to make.
All right. While we deplore the recent shootings in Santee and elsewhere of school students, and while our hearts go out to the victims' families, let's not forget what's really at stake here, Phil, and that is the loss of our freedom. And by that, I mean the gun control lobby. We cannot allow the gun control lobby to strip our Second Amendment rights away from us. My husband, Steve, is very fond of saying, guns don't kill people, people kill people. What could be more appropriate? We thank God every day that our three sons, Seth, Dylan, and Justin, would never think to do something as destructive as take a gun to school. We do have a gun safe in our home. My husband keeps a variety of weapons in it. And we never have to keep it locked because our boys got the message very early, you don't go near the gun safe when we're not home. But that's our family. We're fortunate. We raised our boys to respect private property. And we raised our boys to respect private life.
Well, what, Bobby, can I interrupt?
Certainly so.
What about other families that have raised their children?
Well, I don't know how many of them there are. I know that other families have a hard time controlling their boys, and other families have a hard time controlling their children. This boy in Santee, I'm really curious how often this boy was disciplined. My husband believes probably not too often, and there's an old saying, spare the rod, spoil the child. And I wonder, this boy relocated from back east. I don't know how often he got just a good old-fashioned whipping. And one of the things...
Well, you're talking now about corporal punishment and what that can do and whether or not it works. Did it work with your kids? Or...
Well, we do not have to strike our children, Phil. Again, I have to emphasize, our boys are really not a part of this discussion because our boys are... really rather exceptional. They're in the top 1 percentile of the Iowa basic skills tests. They're in the top 1 percentile of their classes. They're very intelligent boys. They would never, ever go into Steve's gun safe. Now, I'm talking about the overwhelming majority of the children who are the children of the people who listen to your program. And they are, to my mind, at risk.
Okay, so what do you do? You say that you do not want your Second Amendment rights trampled on. You don't want to have gun control. You don't want to keep guns necessarily under a lock and key. So what is the answer?
Phil, the answer is very simple. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. We need more of a deterrent. We need stiffer jail sentences. We need more
monitoring. You shouldn't be able to buy a gun unless you're over 18, and only then a 12-day waiting period. We really feel this goes a long way toward keeping the guns out of the hands of these criminals. And that's,
do you think that a 12-day waiting period, do you think that an 18-year-old age limit, do you think that would have kept a gun out of this kid's hands in Santee?
I think it's a good start, Phil. I really do. I think we should have had stiffer jail sentences.
And then, well, what stiff jail sentence is going to keep this kid? What's stiffer than the gas chamber?
I think we need to have the gas chamber plus 20 years in prison. In other words, if you could keep them in prison for 20 years and then gas them, if you could stiffer jail, I don't know. My husband has all the details. I don't know. I just know that keeping guns out of people's hands, and I know you're one of these gun control people, Mr. Hendry. I don't think that's the answer.
All right. Well, I'm not one of those gun control people necessarily. I have never said how I feel. I don't know how stiffer jail time is going to keep what happened in Santee from happening. Bobby Dooley is with us.
Well, this, Phil, is really my segment, and it's Southern California Lifestyle, so I don't see where you get off.
I'm expressing an opinion.
But I think it's rude.
All right, well, I don't mean to be rude. I'm going to give the number here, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, president of the Parent Teachers Association of Western Estates, with the claim that stiffer jail time and a longer waiting period is going to keep what happened in Santee from happening. Also, you say that your boys aren't the kind of guys that have to be, your kids aren't going to take a gun to school.
No, never.
How do you know?
So my boys are very, very special. They're very, very special boys.
How do you know your husband's got an unlocked gun safe in the house?
My boys were told to stay away from that.
But how do you know that one day they won't go into that gun safe, take a gun, go to school, and blow somebody away?
Because we discipline our boys, Phil. Because we do believe in corporal punishment. And I believe that a child that has lost his boundaries needs to reestablish those boundaries. And the way to do that is just with a good old-fashioned flogging or a flaying or beating. And that way, a child is going to know his boundaries. Thinking about abuse.
You're talking about taking the switch, taking them out to the woodshed.
That's right. I think that keeps a boy from bringing a gun into the boys' room. And my boys come from a good home. They're not like a lot of the other families out there. And God forbid he should be like any one of these people. What city was it?
What?
Where the boy was?
Santee.
My husband says that that's down in a part of San Diego County where there's a lot of blue-collar people and a lot of one-parent families. So
I don't know anything about Santee. I don't think you should care. I understand it's a very nice community. You know?
Well, I don't know. My understanding is there's a lot of blue-collar, one-parent families.
The point being, though, that there is a definite difference of opinion as to whether gun control or... Never mind.
You sound frustrated.
I'm a little frustrated, yes, listening to you with the thing and the, you know, with keep guns out of the hands and everything else of the kids. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley on to tell us that stiffer jail time, longer waiting periods, then you don't have these kids shooting up schools. Also, her sons would never do anything like this, even though her husband, and she said it, her husband keeps an unlocked gun safe in the house. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. We have Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Parent Teachers Organization on the phone. We're talking about the very, very tragic events in Santee, which basically, Bobby, you're saying the main culprit is the fact that the kids just didn't have any discipline, and that he came from a one-parent home, and that it was generally a blue-collar community.
Now, Phil, I am not indicting that community.
Well, you did. You did say, Santee, one caller, you know, blue collar, one parent family homes, and you said that the kid, a kid who receives regular beatings.
I said a child who receives a boundary establishing flaying, yes.
And I don't know what a boundary establishing flaying is. Is that?
That is just a switch out in the woodshed. And what happened to those days? You know,
and you do not believe in keeping the guns necessarily out of a kid's hands. You believe in stiffer penalties.
I think good old-fashioned stiffer penalties, stiffer jail time, and a longer waiting period will keep this kind of thing from happening. Also, trigger locks and ammunition guards. I also believe that there should be you should have to have a license to own a gun. And that, I think, is going to keep tragedies like what happened in Littleton and Santee from happening. If we can license these people. And
I see. So if the kid had a license, he wouldn't have done it.
I don't think. You know, in other words, you're making fun of me. Is that it?
Well, you listen to yourself.
You know, Phil, I don't want to be talked to that. The one surefire way.
Look, Bobby, I don't mean to disrespect you. Give the kid a license and that.
The one surefire way to keep your kid out of the family gun safe is to tell your child, no, those are daddy's guns. You don't touch. And let me tell you something. That'll go a long way.
Well, maybe if they're young enough. I don't know. Here is Doris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Doris, hello.
Yes.
Go ahead, Doris.
Okay, mm-hmm. I want to say that the lady that was just on,
mm-hmm.
she has problems that
mm-hmm.
she's not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She talks about her mm-hmm. kids, my kids are good kids, my kids are good kids.
Yes, they are. They're very good kids.
But mm-hmm. I think that you are wearing blinders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I also think that perhaps you have a husband problem
mm-hmm.
due to the fact that
mm-hmm.
you say, well, my husband has all the details.
Mm-hmm. My husband says that guns kill people, guns don't kill people.
That's true,
mm-hmm.
but that's an old cliche from a way back.
Well, my husband has really feels that what that boy in Santee needed was a boundary-reinforcing flogging.
No, I don't
you
agree
know?
With that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cruel to
mm-hmm.
think that kids need. I raised three boys, none
mm-hmm.
of which were ever in trouble,
oh.
and I can honestly say that they never, ever, ever got a beating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm not talking about your boys.
They were disciplined.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
you're talking about your boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My boys have all got college degrees. They
what?
All have their own
oh.
homes. Never one.
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. No, but my boys,
but
your
you,
boys and my boys don't need it. I'm talking about all, you've seen these families, I'm sure. You've got
bigger problems than what you're aware of, and you may not know it, but your
mm-hmm.
kids
mm-hmm.
and your attitude are going
mm-hmm.
to both come back to haunt
mm-hmm.
you.
You know, Doris,
that boy in Tempe, I
mm-hmm.
don't believe, was...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What?
No, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
A boy in Tempe, he mm-hmm. may have had a rough childhood.
That wasn't Tempe, ma'am. That was Santee, California.
Oh,
where was it, Phil?
Santee, that's correct.
In Santee.
Is that,
right.
is that that's in Arizona?
That's in California,
yes.
Southern California.
Tempe is in Arizona,
Tempe,
my mistake.
Yeah, Doris, Tempe is, I believe it's outside of Phoenix.
That's correct.
My husband
said that I was wrong.
Right. My husband
which
just
is
told me.
Probably more than you'll ever admit that you were ever wrong.
Mm-hmm.
However, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
can't go around with an attitude
mm-hmm.
of I'm perfect, my husband's perfect, my kids are perfect, without having a great fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you
mm-hmm.
realize where you're headed, because when the fall
mm-hmm.
comes,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a big one, and it's going to be a hard one.
Well, Doris, if I could make this comment, my husband has often said that you would have to pry his gun from his dead, cold fingers.
That's I beg your pardon?
You would have to pry his gun from his dead, cold fingers? Have you heard that said?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
my husband says that. And I really understand that. It's really kind of, it's neat.
I don't know how old your boys
mm-hmm.
are,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that you have guns and you don't keep them locked up, that
mm-hmm.
is not only That is very, very irresponsible.
Well, I think it's really important, though, to understand that the boy from, and I'm sorry, Phil, where is it?
Santee, California.
He lived in an apartment. And you know, Doris, you know, any child raised in an apartment, that's a bomb ready to blow.
No, that's not true.
Oh, any child raised.
That's not true. I think not only are you mm-hmm. wearing blinders, but you're a very prejudiced
mm-hmm.
woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not everybody mm-hmm. can live in a home.
My husband.
Not in a fancy home.
Yeah, we
and
have
a fancy home does
mm-hmm.
not mean that the kids are not going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you heard
mm-hmm.
from the better side of town and the kids
mm-hmm.
have gotten into very serious trouble?
I think
I think you've got a problem, lady.
You know, my husband says that our boys are really smart and ambitious, and they would never
what
do anything.
What do you say?
I'm sorry?
What do you say? You know, not what your husband says, but what do you think? Are you a lone thinker?
I don't understand what she means, Phil.
What do you think?
What do I think about what? I'm sorry.
What do you think? You said, what does your husband think? We know what your husband thinks. What do you think?
My husband has always been, we're Christians, and we believe that, I don't understand.
Okay,
what do you think?
My problem
mm-hmm.
with your
mm-hmm.
Dissertation is
mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Wait, Doris, hold on. What do you think, Bobby, about this? Not what your husband thinks. What do you think?
Phil, we believe in Corinthians, which says that the husband is the representation of... Well, hold on, Steve.
What?
They want to know what I think.
Well, tell them we're Christians, Phil.
I don't want to talk to you, Steve. I want to talk to your wife. Look, Doris, thanks for calling. I want to talk to your wife, Steve.
What? About what?
What she thinks.
What do I think?
What do you think?
Steve, what do you think?
Never mind what he thinks.
You're going to yell at my wife.
I don't want to yell at it. Look, hold on for a minute. Look, I don't want to yell at anybody. I want to know what your wife thinks. Where are you guys anyway?
We're at Stuckey's. Right now, I'm getting the pecan pie.
We're in the parking lot, Phil.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Let me go to Alan. Alan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just called in to make a comment about their the condescending attitude that Miss Dooling is displaying on your radio show. She's interrupting with the thing, which is
rude. I'm listening to everything people are saying.
Yeah, but you're interrupting by saying that. And
I
wanted to say was that you don't know what's going to happen when your sons are angry. Some boy has stolen his girlfriend. He knows there's a gun that he can get to. His emotions and his testosterone.
Not my boys.
Get
no.
the mixing. Do your boys have testosterone?
Yes, of course.
Do your boys have emotion?
Of course they
You're
do.
Not a boy. You don't know how these things mix and how volatile they can
my
be.
My boys are disciplined.
I was disciplined. I was disciplined. I was getting ready to shoot somebody because they were getting ready to shoot my dog. You don't know what's going to happen in
but
life.
But you were raised in an apartment, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
How do
was
you
raised.
Know where he was,
I was
raised?
In a house.
You were in a house.
Yes, I was raised in a house all my life.
That's unusual. That's unusual.
It's the truth.
Well, I'd say something here about the fact that you may be African-American, and that might have something to do with it.
Now, what has that got to do with it?
Just, we live in a six-bedroom house on 2 acres. See?
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley. That's what I'm saying. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. With me is Bobby Dooley, Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization, talking about this horror in Santee and across the country. These kids shooting each other. You say that your three sons live in a house where your husband has an unlocked gun safe.
That's right, yeah.
And you don't worry about a thing.
We don't really, Phil, because our children have been disciplined. The only discipline problem we had, our youngest son, Seth, had an incident with a neighbor's dog, and we had him looked at. The doctor recommend antidepressants, and we have had him on antidepressant medication for a year. So we take care of the problem as it occurs.
What did your son do?
He smothered some puppies. A neighbor's dog had some puppies, and he smothered them.
Oh my God!
It really scared us. It really did. But we did take him to a doctor, and the doctor felt that this medication would be good for him. So we're good, and we're getting better. And the reason why we're getting better is because when those boys go near that gun safe, we say to them, no, you don't go. No. No, no. No, no, no. And they get the message.
Do you think that no, no, no would have helped this kid in Santee?
I wonder, Phil, if that boy was told, no, you may not go into the gun safe and load a gun. I wonder.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Sam, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. To say, I think this your guess is off base
mm-hmm.
with this,
mm-hmm.
with her comment about her sons are so above this.
Mm-hmm.
How old are her sons?
My boys are 13, 11, and 10.
But that has nothing to do with where you're raised and how you're raised.
Mm-hmm.
The kid in Columbine was from a wealthy family, a two-parent family.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that goes on in people's lives that sometimes
we
don't know for what reason.
I wondered if
you
those boys
you
have been told
you can't
no.
categorically to say that your son is above all this. You don't know that. I pray.
My boys,
that
why
your
would
son
my boys?
Never do anything like this, because I think you would be totally devastated.
But why would
because
my boys do
I think,
that?
I think you let your husband, sound like your husband do more to communicate, and
mm-hmm.
you're just a good listening.
I'm sorry? What'd you say?
I said, I think from you listen to your comments, where your lack of information, where you say your husband have
mm-hmm.
all your information,
mm-hmm.
seem
mm-hmm.
like you're dependent on him to tell you everything,
mm-hmm.
instead of knowing for yourself.
Well, my son Seth smothered four puppies at our home.
And you don't see anything wrong with that.
Right.
You don't think that maybe possibly that he can grow up if he have access to a gun.
What?
Smothering puppies, what if someone messed
mm-hmm.
with him in school when he gets to be 15 or 16?
Well, I think that's just youthful.
He don't have the capacity to go off and go into your unlocked gun safe and do the same thing.
I think it's just youthful enthusiasm. He smothered some puppies.
No, that's not youthful. That's not youthful enthusiasm. I was a youth, and I never did want to smother puppies.
Well, but you never wanted to, but then... Maybe
no.
you never wanted to go on a roller coaster.
I was
either.
In the military. I was in the
mm.
military. I was in the military.
Wait a minute. Right? Wait. You got your son on antidepressants, right?
Of course.
Okay, so now you got a boy in the house on antidepressants and an unlocked gun safe.
He will never do it. Don't even go there, Phil. He did it because one of the puppies scratched him. It was understandable. My husband says we take care of our own.
Oh,
and
please,
please.
Lady. I
mm-hmm.
feel sorry for you because
mm-hmm.
you really seem to be out of touch with reality.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, were
I
you
just
able...
pray. I'll pray for you that
mm-hmm.
your son,
mm-hmm.
maybe if he missed a dose of his drugs,
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't get into that gun case and go kill someone.
Because did you...
if he missed a dose of his drugs and someone say something to him that's out of character,
mm-hmm.
or maybe just touch him that he doesn't like,
mm-hmm.
then he's going to go to the gun case and shoot him just because he doesn't have his medication.
Did you
but
say that
okay.
you did not smother any puppies?
No, I never had the urge to hurt anyone.
Were
I'm 47
able, were,
years old.
Were you able to afford a puppy as a child? Or
I had several dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And for
mm-hmm.
your information,
mm-hmm.
I have two kids, and
mm-hmm.
I stay in the same situation that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So don't sit up here and try. See, when you things doesn't go your way, you try
mm-hmm.
to revert to the old
mm-hmm.
antics that, oh, you must be poor. You're so
no.
disillusioned.
I really
feel sorry
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you well.
What about these children that are raised in apartments? I don't understand that.
They don't have any. I know plenty
mm-hmm.
of people that are raised in apartments going on to make college and going
mm-hmm.
look at the Supreme Court justice. They were raised in apartments.
Do you think they go
What's
to private,
wrong with that?
What about, do you think they go to private schools? Because the public school system.
Oh, come on, will you? public school system this. And
how many of these, you know, he doesn't need to go to the gun safe to get a gun. Each boy has his own 22 caliber pistol.
Okay, look.
Phil, yeah, I enjoy
Sam,
your show.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much. And I'll continue to listen, but your guess is really out of touch.
All right, thank you, sir, for your call. Each boy has his own 22 caliber pistol.
That is for target practice. And they are told, no, no, no. You see, Phil, there is no discipline. And there is no real good old-fashioned, let's take the kid out behind a shed and drop his pants and let's go to work. There is none of that because we don't have a society that's responsible.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley from the Parent Teachers Organization of Western Estates on to say that this kid in Santee obviously wasn't given regular beatings, otherwise he wouldn't do that.
And my husband, Phil, says you can't hurt a fly with a .22 caliber. And it's for squirrel shooting and small target.
Yeah, okay. Keep telling yourself that. Here is Rick on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just heard a little bit of that last part of the conversation in regards to the switch deal. And I probably was raised in that era where, the paddlings were frequent and often.
You bet.
And it did discipline me to respect a lot of things.
That's right.
But that's not going to control your child's mental stability. Let's say for a fact that your child would go and get teased like...
Was this boy ever paddled? We don't know.
Yeah.
And I think a good paddling...
Yeah.
The kid in Santee, if he would have gotten a good paddling, he just would have been cool.
I think so.
Here is Doug on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Doug?
I have to say, you are so out of touch. Number one, let me give you a little of my background. I'm a son of a military family. I've lived in homes. I've lived in apartments. I've even lived in trailers. I'm a Christian boy.
Were you raised in an apartment?
I've been raised in a little bit of everything, man.
Okay.
Military family moves around everywhere. But you're stereotyping. Why don't you just get on the radio?
Did you have a single family, single parent family?
No, ma'am.
Were you in a single family?
No, ma'am. Not personally, no. But I've had many of friends
so there
that
was
haven't,
more than
haven't
one
had
family?
These problems.
Was there more than one family living in the apartment?
No, ma'am.
All right. Well, you said you were... I don't understand. You said it was not a single family.
Okay, hush for a minute.
Well,
let me have my chance.
Saying,
okay, let me have my chance.
That's
you interrupt
very,
a lot.
You know you're not very Christian.
I'm not very Christian.
No, you
now,
told me
you
to
get
shut
that?
Up. You told me to
okay,
shut
you're,
up.
You're getting off. You're getting off the
no,
block.
But you're telling me to. You're telling me to shut up.
I'm asking
and
for my chance.
He asked
to talk.
For his opportunity to speak, and
he said, "Shush up."
Okay, now I apologize for that misinterpretation. But I will tell you this. Okay, you spend a lot of time not listening. Except for to your husband. Now, I'm a Christian.
My husband
I am
says
a Christian.
That you'll have to pry his cold, dead hands off of his gun.
Okay, tell me this. Okay, just common sense would tell you to keep the gun locked just in case. What if somebody else came into the house? What if your kids
we
were
keep
upset?
Our house
what if
locked.
Didn't?
We don't allow people in our home unless we know them.
How many houses are robbed with
did
locked doors?
Did you ever
doors?
Smother a puppy? I want to be really... Let's get down to it.
I've never wanted to smother a puppy, no. And I have had a few dogs, yeah.
All right, okay. Well, I think that's kind of youthful enthusiasm.
Youthful enthusiasm?
Mm-hmm.
That is a major problem.
That's a mental
thinking.
Disturbance. Smothering a puppy is part of the homicidal triangle of bedwetting and arson, okay? And
if you're a Christian, you wouldn't have told me to shush. What
ma'am.
Did Jesus do? WWJD. WWJD. My husband says that kids raised in apartments and trailers shoot up schools and nuns. See?
I'm listening.
Okay.
Okay, now
okay,
that,
Bobby,
now that
we got to be getting back to the planet Earth here. And
well, Phil,
okay, it was interesting for the first half hour. Schools and nuns. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. All right, so there goes Bobby. She's going to, I don't know what she's going to do, man. Go down and make sure that gun safe is wide open down there, Bobby, for your fine little boy Seth on his antidepressants. See, all he did was smother a puppy. What's this? Is that any reason to take away his 22? Oh, four puppies. Okay. What is he, Sal Mineo and Rebel Without a Cause? He smothered four puppies, so that's no reason to take away his 22. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, and I'm sure you have, and maybe you haven't identified it, we are now in the full predictable groove of what happens in America, and that is the copycat groove. We're now full into the wheelhouse of that. See, there's all these concerned people on television right now talking about what we can do, and look at all these school shootings, and what, you know, they're freaking out, and they don't understand. And why, the kid in Pennsylvania, there's another one in Williamsport, there's one here in San Diego, you know the story. And what can we do? Okay, right now what we're in is what America does best. It's called the copycat mode. See, we have a country full of people that are in such desperate need of lives and in such desperate need of some creative thinking that they don't know what to do other than what everybody else does. When they're frustrated, well, they just go right out and they do the monkey see, monkey do thing. They do the copycat mode. It was prevalent in Los Angeles in the 80s with the freeway shootings. One guy did it, then 50 people were doing it. When people were throwing rocks off of freeway overpasses, one guy did it, then 50 people do it. When somebody put poison in Tylenol, one guy did it, and 50 other people did it. And now remember when Lorena Bobbitt cut off her husband's penis? Do you realize that we had guys, after that happened, doing it to themselves? Since the losers that would do that kind of thing, they couldn't attract a female fly if they were dead, so they didn't have any women in their lives. They just started cutting off their own penises. And now we have the school shooting thing, and since you're dealing with kids, and with all due respect to the fine young teens out there, many of whom listen to this show, much to my consternation, by the way, they're just about the most predictable people in the world when it comes to peer pressure. They see some other kids shoot somebody. Well, they're going to go out and shoot somebody. That's America. That's what we do. We spend so much time talking about Yankee ingenuity and what a country of individuals and original thinkers we are. Well, sure, that's a handful of people. See, we love to take credit for the Herman Melvilles, for the Jonas Salks. We love to take credit for the Jackie Robinsons. We love to think that we live in a country filled with people like that. Point of fact, all of those guys, every time they're coming up, all they do is take crap from the rest of us. In fact, Herman Melville, had there been, I don't know, how quick can you load a musket? If before he written Moby Dick, he might have taken a gun to his school. Thomas Edison, there's a guy that was abused by kids when he was growing up. He went out and he invented the light bulb. Had there been an unlocked gun safe in his house... And now this poor kid in Santee, whose parents don't even have the common decency to show up for the kid's hearing. Now, maybe they got delayed. Maybe the old man couldn't make it from where. I don't know. But the boy was all alone. And I said at the beginning of the hour, I don't know why I feel sorry for this kid and not those two pieces of crap in Littleton, that Dylan, whatever the hell that guy was. Those two guys should only freaking die, should only be burning in hell. This kid, for some reason, I feel sorry for him. He looks like a poor, pathetic putz, which is exactly probably what the kids called him when he was in school. Well, you know what? In life, you have to accept what you are. Maybe he was a putz. Maybe he was a nerd. Maybe he was a geek. Maybe he was a dork. Read it and weep, Jack. That's what you are. That's what I was. I was skinny. I had pimples. I couldn't get a freaking date to save my life. It was the Cosmopolitan bra ads for me, man. That was as close as I got to a hot Friday night, the brassiere ads in Vogue. My mom's fashion magazines. That was me. I took abuse. I had girls laughing at me. You know, my friends, everybody. I went out, I got a gun, and I shot six of them at a dance, and it just was liberating. I don't know what to say. But other than that, But here in America, because there is truly no original thinking other than that is practiced by those courageous few of whoever they are that do it, we are all a bunch of copycats. And so when somebody goes out and shoots somebody at a school, now we got ourselves, now we're in the wheelhouse, now we're in the slipstream, now we are in the hot groove of the copycat. So these school shootings, you might as well just settle back, relax, take your shoes off, put your feet up, put your hands behind your back, you know, make yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a drink, because this is going to go on now for a few weeks, whether you like it or not. Because the kids are pissed, because there's a few freaks out there, because there's a couple of kids out there that are dorks and can't live with it, can't deal with it, don't have an adult in their life that can help them deal with it. So they saw some other kid get a gun, they're going to do the same thing. It's not if, it's when. Because on top of everything else, we don't even have an original way of committing a freaking crime around this country anymore. What happened to the original guys like Charles Manson, anyway? Oh, you mean he's in prison? What happened to the days of Jack the Ripper? Real original thinkers. Where's the mad bomber of Kansas City when we need him? Where's the Unabomber? Jeez, even those skinheads and Nazis, those guys are freaking boring. The Klan with the, you know, get a new act, will you? Do something original. Seriously, Craig and I were just talking about this. Are you sick and tired of living in this country or not? I mean, come on, be honest. Don't start waving the flag on me. Be honest. Haven't you just about had a belly full of this pit? Haven't you? Oh, you can't have it any better anywhere else in the world. You want to bet? I've traveled the rest of the world. How many of you guys have? Oh, this is the greatest country in the world. Bull crap. As much as I can't stand the frogs, hell, I'll move to Paris. I walk down a city alley, 3 o'clock in the morning with my wife. Nobody would even think of touching her. That's the streets of Paris. As much as we can't stand those arrogant French, that's their country. But in this hole, in this slaughterhouse, in this butcher shop, in this godforsaken pit of, I don't know what this is anymore. This isn't a country. This is a collection of sociopaths, psychopaths, a lot of pious, sanctimonious ass. Leather wearing in the summertime ass. Freaking disgusting. Absolutely. And all we love to pat ourselves on the back. Well, it's still the greatest, and our flag, and even the Canadians right now, I would take that over this. I would move to Mexico in a heartbeat. And I know what you say. Well, then why don't you, Phil? Because I make a damn good living here. And I make a damn good living here making fun of all of you guys that won't do anything about it. Because I know what you're saying. You're the talk show host. Why don't you do something? That's not my job. No. No, no. You ain't getting off that easy. You're not getting off that. That ain't the Phil Hendry show, and that shouldn't be what the rest of us do. I'm not going to give you any answers. Get up off your dead can and find the answers yourself. Turn the freaking radio off. Turn the TV off. Go talk to your kid, man. Go to a PTA meeting for a change. Instead of watching Married with Children, go to a PTO meeting. I understand those are the new ones. Go to a city council meeting. Have yourself a beer. Shoot some pool. Go swimming. Welcome back, Phil Hendry Show, and it is now time for that portion of our program we call You're Now Allowed to Talk to Phil. You're now allowed to call the show at 1-800-449-8686. Check in on the bullcrap of the day. Check in, of course, on aspects, questions that you may have about our show, and how this, one of the most revolutionary radio shows in the history of the world, has been executed up to this point. And other things that may strike your fancy. So we have my take and my point of view on the world events, world's news. And that's crap, too. Just remember, we're all full of crap. 1-800-449-8686. I may also direct you to the website josephwolf.com. Josephwolf.com. Joe is a listener to our show, but this poor guy is in a coma. He's a, I think he's a 13-year-old boy. He was hit by a car on Sunday, January 28th, while walking home from church. He was life-flighted to a local hospital in Sandy, Utah, where he received emergency brain surgery. And his family, of course, at his side. And this poor little guy, and here's a decent kid, this little Joe Wolf. Here, there he is with his dog. It's a pug dog, and he's in a coma. So what are you going to do? Because, you know, kids, and Melissa made this point, and we made this point last week, everybody wants to blame everybody except one group of people don't get the blame. And who is that? The kids. Nobody wants to blame them. Everybody wants to blame the parents. They want to blame the teachers. They want to blame the TV. They want to blame the movies. They want to blame the society. They want to blame the violent nature of society. This stuff starts pouring out of our mouths like so much, just so much, like so many gumballs just dropped down from the gumball machine and rolling right out the exit there, and you don't even know what the hell it is you're saying. Well, it's a reflection of our violence. I hung up on a guy last hour. I screened a call. I just think this is a reflection of the violent nature of our society. Man, I couldn't have hung up that phone faster. Bug off. Video games, Eminem, rock music, Pokemon. Has anybody thought that maybe the problem is just that some of these kids are rotten to the core? Did you ever see that movie Bad Seed with Patty McCormick? Boy, she was a real piece of work. She sets fire to houses, kicked the crap out of some guy. She's 10, man. She looked like Heidi. She looked like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. And she's got the little pigtails, and she's got the little milkmaid, the Swiss Miss skirt. Looked like that little Cindy on the Brady Bunch, only about 10-year-old version of her. And she'd go around kicking the crap out of everybody, setting fire to some guy. Remember the gardener? She burned the guy or something. Goofy, wacky, wiggy little chick. She's, you know... She belongs in a cage. Some of these kids do. That's been my philosophy. Ever since the Columbine thing went down, I finally said, you can't say anything other than... And that Klebold and Harris, those guys were just born rotten to the core. Some woman calls my show and says, well, you know, no child is born evil. How dare you? This is what she says to me. How dare you? Oh, yeah? How do you know? How do you know? You know, the things we're learning about psychology right now, we're learning about brain size. We're learning about neurotransmitters, the biochemistry of the brain. How do you know he wasn't born bad? Kid could have been born with some kind of a neurotransmitter or brain chemical defect, which is pumping too much norepinephrine here or not enough serotonin there, or there is a chemistry imbalance that could cause the kid to be a homicidal maniac. So don't tell me he didn't born bad. These kids are the children of the corn. Now, I'm not making the mistake a lot of adults make. I'm not saying that things were better when I was a kid, okay? This kid was born from the seed of Satan, but there have been the seed of Satan before. Didn't you see Rosemary's Baby? 1968, Mia Farrow? It's great. No, kids have been crappy their whole, down through time. This hasn't got anything to do with generation. We ain't saying things were better when I was a kid. I ain't going to lay that old saw on you, man. Just, you can always check in with Phil because you know you're going to get the truth out of me. And the truth is, when I was a kid, things are just as bad, if not worse. If you want to know the honest truth, kids got it tougher today than they did when I was a kid. When you see kids dragging books to school that they have to carry in suitcases, where they can't ride a bike to school, they have to go in an armored personnel carrier for fear some pervert is going to pick them up off the street. Where they can't go to school and just sit in a classroom and enjoy the day, they got to worry about whether some nutcase is going to pull a gun that they got out of their dad's gun case. And I don't give a crap if the guy had it locked. I still say he's responsible. What do you think of that? Oh, well, the father did everything that he could. He had the gun case locked. Bull crap! I still say charge the guy. Ain't nobody going to have the balls to do that. Okay, Dwight, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I wanted to express the opinion that the reason these things keep happening is because they're a cry for attention, and we give it to them by putting it on the radio and on the news.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I think the more that we talk about it, the more these things will continue to happen. Kind of like terrorism.
I already said that. I said it was a copycat thing.
Well, no, I think... copying unoriginality, I mean, I think is a good thing. I mean, your success in radio is because you copied people before you that were in radio.
No, I've never copied a soul.
So there was no one doing radio before you?
There was nobody doing what I do. There was nobody. Go ahead, name him.
I think.
Go ahead, name who was it?
People that went on the radio before you.
People that do what I do on the air.
Well.
Okay. Obviously, I use this medium, but you're using a telephone. I'm not going to accuse you of unoriginality.
Oh, well, absolutely.
That's a tool. That's a tool that you picked up to use, but you use it in your way by voicing your distinct point of view. I think it's I think the heart and soul of America being unoriginal is expressed by the copycat crime, only in America.
I think there's copycat crime everywhere. Absolutely.
Really? Like where?
Oh, in every country.
Go ahead. Give me an example.
Sure. There's pickpockets in France. I mean, I've been to Paris and there were pickpockets there. They tell you don't keep your wallet in a.
Yeah, but that's not done as the result of some other guy did it. So I think I'm going to do it as a cry for help. That's what you were just talking about.
That guy's
doing it to make a living.
I'm saying that, yes, this is a copycat. There's always going to be copycats. That may be a bad thing. It may be a good thing.
What you're telling me is we shouldn't publicize this stuff so it won't happen as much.
Absolutely.
What are you talking about,
if
man?
If we stopped publicizing people blowing up airplanes, it wouldn't happen anymore. The only reason they blow it up is for the attention that
so
it gets.
So how am I supposed to do that?
How are you supposed to do what? Not talk about it?
Yeah.
Don't talk about it.
I can't.
Today's show should be about something else.
I have to talk about it.
This kid wanted your attention, and now he's getting your attention.
Well, good. I hope he got my attention. I'll give him more if he wants.
Well, that's the thing, that people are going to do this in the future because you give them attention.
Look, if I don't talk about this, you know what's going to happen? People are going to turn on the radio because they want to know about this kid that blew away these people in San Diego, and I'm not talking about it. They're going to go to another radio station.
Sure, and if they're not talking about it, then people won't do this.
Then you're
what you're
telling me is they'll actually have to have a life or something?
Absolutely, that's
well,
exactly
that's,
what I'm
no,
saying.
No, that won't happen. This is like I said, this is America.
I mean,
nice try. No, wait a second. Are you asking us to go out and find a life? Who do you think you are? Okay, Bob, who do you think you are? Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call, long-time listener. Just a couple of questions.
Okay, see you later, Bob. 1-800-449. Where do they get off with that long-time listener, thanks for taking my call stuff? This is the Phil Hendry Show. This ain't the Mike Reagan Show. Thanks for taking my call, long-time listener. You might as well let them know right now, Mike. If they open up with that, they're gone. This is one of the reasons why we don't take phone calls ordinarily, but I'm allowing you to speak to me today because of the nature of the news, all that other stuff. You need to unburden. Everybody's tense, yada, yada, yada. But you better come on with what you got to say, and you give me that thanks for taking my call, long-time listener thing, and I may pick up a gun and wander into a schoolyard. This is a segment of the Phil Hendry program called Who Do You Think You Are? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Back to You're Now Allowed to Talk to Phil. 1-800-449-8686. I guess the idea is just be nice to people. This crap wouldn't happen if you guys were nicer to each other out there. But I bet you'll be nicer to them now, won't you? And how could you not help but be nice to somebody if you think maybe the guy has a gun? It's true. See, you think that I'm being, like it's bad taste or something. I'm dead serious. Sooner or later, the effect is this. I'm not going to give any crap to anybody, especially some geek, because he might have a gun. So there's that. There's all kinds of lessons to be learned. And then there's the lesson that we talked about last hour, which is let's get out of this country. Let's get out of here. Let's move away from America because it's a psychotic, disgusting place. It just really is. And all of that orientation, all of the training since we were kids about the greatest nation on earth, you have got to begin to wean yourself away from that propaganda because it just isn't true. You have to now begin to think the unthinkable. We have to now do what the Emperor of Japan told his people to do at the end of World War II, endure the unendurable, and that is come to grips with the reality this is not the greatest country in the world. This is a country so beset with sickness and illness that I'd rather be living with the stone people of New Guinea. I'd rather be out on the other side of the lake where the beast lives and paint my face, and when the cats go off-roading through there during the summertime, say, go back, bad fever over river. Just, you know, roll in mud and cut off the pig's head and do the whole kill the pig, spill his blood chant. I'd rather be in the Philippines with some guy with an electrified cattle prod on my testicles after having ripped off a pack of juicy fruit from a local 7-Eleven. I would rather live in that kind of society than have to endure one more second. I'm just kidding. All right. Here is Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I kind of I agree with you with respect to the kid. I felt very bad for him. I saw him today, and I keep thinking, I almost feel like he didn't think he had a choice.
What kid's that? The little geek down there in Santee?
Yep.
Screw him, too.
No, but the thing is, all right, first of all,
what about that old man? Give me an answer. What about the old man? Don't you think that guy ought to be brought up on charges?
Which old man?
I don't know. The kid's father. He had that locked gun case?
No. I feel like, no, but listen to what my...
Let me ask you a question as a woman. Seriously, he was living with his father. You know that, right?
Right.
His mother was back east. You're aware of that? What mother gives up custody of her kid?
I have no idea, but my point is just that...
Oh, you just want to blow right by my point.
No, but I understand...
You want to make your point.
Go
ahead, Lisa. What is it?
Thank you.
Your freaking point. What?
Okay. What I want to say is that, you know, for the most part, it's the atmosphere, it's the environment. These kids are formed by what they're involved, what's around them. And when you live in a culture where you watch a sports game and people are talking about take a shot or whatever, and he's a Maryland kid, he's from Maryland, and he's in California, and everyone's talking about executing and exterminating and assassinating.
Where are they talking about that?
On TV all the time. That's all they talk about is when are we going to get the cut, the slit in the throat. You know, I mean, it's just,
you're not going to go into that kick, are you? Are you telling me about television?
Right, yeah, and television.
Oh, come
radio.
On.
Well,
how many times
have
I... Are you going to go down that road again? How many times are you going to go down that road?
What road?
That TV did it.
I'm talking about the truth. No.
The TV did it. Is that what you're telling me? The TV did it?
It's the media. It's the culture. It's like Hitler. I mean, Hitler
just because I pushed a safe out of a second floor window once and squashed this guy doesn't mean that I was watching Warner Brothers cartoons. Just because I fell off of a cliff to see if, you know, I could do it like the coyote.
So you're saying that Hitler, do you think propaganda works for elected officials? Do you think that if you put 24 hours a day, if you say Bush is great and Clinton's a demon, if you say Clinton steals, do you think that doesn't affect people? People don't change their votes based on that? Is that what you're saying?
Am I saying what?
Are you saying that if you broadcast propaganda, maybe
keep talking because I'll give you a little music while you do this. Go ahead. If I'm saying what?
All right, are you saying
just
that...
Just because I ordered stuff from Acme doesn't mean I really want to blow up somebody.
Go
ahead. I'm saying, in other words, that propaganda doesn't work?
Examples.
That propaganda doesn't work is what you're asking me.
Yeah, are you saying that advertising is just a joke? People spend billions of dollars advertising their products because they're stupid. Is that what you're saying?
I believe that, people are stupid. I would agree with that comment. That's the most cogent thing you've said. People are idiots, okay?
No.
Let's work from there, Lisa. However, I don't necessarily believe that if you keep pumping the same message into their living room, that they're going to act on. For instance, if you were to say to me, you know, if somebody took out an ad in the newspaper that said, go out and kill your parents, 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 would kids go out and do that? Or is that what you're asking me? I think some kids would go out and kill their parents. However, let's flip the coin. Listen to popular music, Lisa. Do you listen to the radio?
Don't blame music.
Listen to me. Do you listen to the music on the radio?
On occasion.
Okay, do you know how many songs are on the radio about love? Baby, I love you. Baby, I need you. Let's stay together. Let's fall in love. Let's have a family. Let's you and I do this. Let's you and I do. You know all those songs about love? My heart will go on. Why do we have, with all of that propaganda about how wonderful love is, about how marvelous a relationship, about how I'll be committed for the rest of my life to you, baby, why do we have hate, and why do we have divorce, and why do we have dysfunctional relationships? Go ahead. That's the most prevalent message in society today.
No, it's not.
I already said it. Shut up. Thanks for your call. It was nice. More calls like Lisa, and we're getting somewhere. What? If they put enough propaganda on the... What did she say? What the hell is she talking about? Every day, all I do is I flip on, I take the kids to school, we listen to Kiss FM. Every song is about, hey, baby, I love you. Just like when I was a kid. It ain't changed. Year after year after year of songs about love. Love is a many-splendored thing. My Heart Will Go On. Love Unlimited Orchestra. Love Train. People of the World. Love Train. Love, 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 freaking love. And you're telling me that the media influences behavior, and if we had all these negative messages out there, that's what's causing the kids to go out and shoot each other up. Well, we got all that love message, too. How come we this place ain't Disneyland? With all that love crap, man, we ought to be out there. We ought to be doing it in the parking lot right now with each other. It ought to be like ecstasy. Every day ought to be a walk down Main Street, USA, with the freaking storybook ride. And every day ought to be like living in It's a Small World. Happiness and joy, holding hands, because that's the prevalent message. You know what? Am I wrong? Then how come that isn't working? If it's propaganda, why doesn't that propaganda work? All right, I'm tired of taking these phone calls. These people are all boring. And it's not your fault. You're just dull. That's why you listen to the Phil Henry Show. You listen to my show for me to give, give, and give more. You don't listen to this show to hear somebody else's opinion. You don't listen to this show to call up. You listen to this show to listen to this show. And the reason why we're stopping down and doing a segment like You're Now Allowed to Call Phil is so you can hear what I got to say about this bull crap, and maybe I'll take a few phone calls. I just took two, and that's enough. Because I know I was going to get it, and I got it. All the negative messages in the media, and what was the other one? Let's not publicize it. Oh, okay. All right. So what is that? Why don't we go back to the days of Robin Hood, man, or the Middle Ages, where a guy had to ride on horseback delivering scrolls to people. Some dude ringing a bell, 3 weeks ago, we delivered an A-bomb to Pakistan. Hear ye, hear ye. The Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. When? Well, the war's over now, but we'll do that, all right? It's our nature to want to know what's going on, guys. It's our nature to want to kind of look around, because the reason why we formed a society in the first place was to be together. It works better when we're together. It doesn't work so good when we ain't together. When we're walking around like a bunch of stumble bums holding onto our own rear end, it don't work so good. So one day we all decided, let's get together. We can do this a lot easier if we're all on the same page. And that's what we did. And then we want to know, what are you doing? What am I doing? That's called news. What that guy's proposing is a de-evolution to the time when nobody gave a crap about each other. We won't publicize it. We won't let anybody know that it's happening. I got a better idea. There was a thing called Communist Russia once where everything was like beautiful. The society was great, and if there was crap, well, they didn't publicize it. We can go and do that. You know, after the fall of communism, they found out, they got this whole study on crime in Russia. And it turned out there was rape and incest, all kinds of disgusting crimes that they didn't want anybody to know about during the communist regime. So as soon as it fell, and you find out these were real people living in a real world with a real society, not this, utopia that they wanted us to believe that actually existed. The crimes were still there, though. And the reason why people were committing the crimes in Russia is because they felt so cut off from everything. So after having said all of that, I agree with you. It's television, but not radio. So stop watching TV and listen to radio. Television sucks. We've been telling you all along you should listen to me, Phil Henry. I will tell you to go out and kill your parents, often. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. To you're now allowed to talk to Phil. Craig Taylor, my engineer here on the Phil Henry Show, told me to shut up and just do some bits. I said, no, I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep talking about this vitally important issue. Oh, boy. Anyway, it is vitally important. I'm not trying to make light of it. But, you know, after a while, you're going to have to excuse me if I start just thinking the whole thing's a put-on, all right? We get one more kid blowing away some kids in a school. I'm going to think the whole thing's a gag. How long do you want me to take this stuff seriously before one of you guys does something about it? And again, it's not my job. Let me emphasize as strongly as I possibly can that I've got nothing to do with the solution to this problem. No talk show host does. Not on TV, not on radio. There is no solution to be found here. There is no answer to the problem. There is no forum upon which you can discuss this issue. There is no, there's not going to be any teabag demonstration here. We're not going to encourage you to call a congressman. We're not going to encourage the passage of a law. I think this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, if you will. Just one of those little things. It's a little tiny pet peeve that I have, and I'm sure you understand we all have these little pet peeves, right? Like you, for instance, maybe you don't like the cap off the toothpaste. Maybe a member of your family doesn't like, waffles. Another one likes pancakes. You know, little pet peeves. My pet peeve are talk shows that try to get laws passed, like talk show hosts who try to get laws passed through state legislatures. I just think guys like that ought to be tied behind a truck and drug for a few blocks. Oh, and there's one other thing I don't like, black people. Other than that, I am, I got a little bit of a pet peeve. I don't like African Americans. Other than that, I'm totally fine. What's this guy want? Daniel, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
You know, when these kids go to school and start shooting folks, and it's a situation where these kids have been picked on and ostracized, you know, they stick the microphone in the kid's face, in the parent's face, in Hollywood's face, in the music industry's face. They need to hunt down these kids that are picking on these kids. They don't excuse bringing a gun to school and busting a cap in these kids that are picking on you, but you kick a dog so much, he's going to bite you. And I tell you, I was telling the guys at work today, if some kid brought a gun to school, shot my son, and I come to find out my son's beating up on this kid every day, I'd be like, you know, it sounded to me like he just started kicking the wrong rattlesnake. I mean, maybe that sounds wrong.
Let me get you straight here. So your kid bullies another kid. That kid comes to school with a gun, shoots and kills your son, and you're like, it's life.
Oh, no, I'd be devastated. But, you know, some of these kids, yeah, they forget to take their medicine and they start shooting people. But then some of these kids, they've been picked on.
Have got a legitimate beef.
What's that?
Have got a legitimate beef. How come we're yelling at each other, too? Because you're over there, you're going, hey, Phil, I'm yelling at you, too. I don't know why the hell I'm doing it. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I'm in Salem, and you're
Everybody
in
yells in Salem? Is that what you're doing there in Salem? Hey! And another thing, yeah, I love you, honey!
I'm driving down the freeway, road raging right now. That's what I'm doing.
Look, all I'm saying is, so you think your kid ought to die. Boy, that's pretty sick, Daniel.
No, that's not what
you
I'm saying.
You need to go to a doctor for that. Why don't you just go ahead and shoot your kid yourself? There's an idea. You know, kid goes to school and starts giving some guy a... Yeah?
Hey, don't tell me as that. When you were a kid and someone was picking on you, you never thought about seriously hurting that person.
No. One of my very first experiences in high school when I was a freshman was this big, dumb kid giving me crap because I was kind of a skinny, short dweeb, right? Well,
yeah.
As I went through high school, I noticed that this guy now started to try to be my friend because I made friends. And in the back of my head, the only revenge that I wanted to take on this guy was to ostracize him. I just would not befriend him. But I never considered violence. What I considered was that someday I'd make him look like the jackass he tried to make me look like.
Hey, Phil, can I tell you a story just really quick?
Not really. All right, so... I'm sorry, I lost it. I'm sorry, I got to move on, man. Anytime somebody says to me, can I tell you a story real quick, I know it's another 10 minutes on the phone with you, and I'll never be able to get rid of you, Daniel. I love you. I thank you for your phone call. Get out of here. Can I tell you a story real quick? Just quit yelling at me. Guys over there in Salem, and we yell here. So you know what I'm saying? I had this guy, I'll never forget the guy. I was walking across the schoolyard one day. I was not 3 weeks into my freshman year in high school, and he's like, hey, he's giving me crap. He's a big, tall guy, and he was with another big, tall guy. And I remember thinking, this guy is a real jackass. And when I get my feet, you know, when I get my feet on the ground and I get settled in here and I start, you know, carving my little niche, I'm going to make that freaking guy know what it feels like, you know. But I wasn't contemplating violence. I had a, I'll never forget, I thought that I was just the weirdest, oddest kid when I was in school, man. And when I got to high school, when I got to my senior year in high school, and I finally went to a co-ed high school, I was in an all-boys high school for 3 years. I was in a Catholic preparatory high school, Catholic college prep high school. And I finally, my parents couldn't afford that any longer, so I had to go to a public high school my senior year, and there I was. And a public high school is even more competitive socially than an all-boys high school because there's a all-boys Catholic high school because there seemed to be some buffering there socially. There I was, and oh my God, I just thought every move that I made was scrutinized. I thought I looked like the biggest jerk. My hair, I couldn't comb it right. It was the days of long hair, and my hair, when it got long in those days, I looked like Bozo the Clown. It frizzed out to the side. And there was one girl in my biology class, I'll never forget her name, Liz. And she sat next to me every day, and she would make sure that the seat was clear so that I would sit there. She had a crush on me. She was a little sophomore, and I was a senior. And I didn't know what to do or to say. I was flummoxed. And she was cute. And you talk about a rear... Well, I'm just kidding. She was a sophomore. And anyway, I was completely... I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to talk to the girls. I looked at her, and she... Hi, Phil. And she had this big... beautiful hair and perfume and man. And a lot of these kids, you know, they thought I was some skinny geek of a kid. I was coming into the school my senior year. They didn't know the hell I was. I was in a biology class that sophomore... Craig's asking me as a senior, what was I doing with a sophomore? It was a biology class where we could all take... I don't know why. It's a good question. Why was I? I just was a sophomore. It was biology. I hadn't taken it. I guess I hadn't taken it. I don't know. But I felt like I felt like the strangest guy, man. So the only thing that I could do is go out and try to make myself feel special somehow. I had to get a career. That's why a lot of us go into entertainment. First thing I did is I smoked a joint, and then... No, I mean, that's why I went out and I tried to find a life and a career for myself where I could say, I feel special about myself. I'm doing something special. And barring that, I wasn't able to find that career, so I went into radio instead. And I still don't know how to talk to girls. It's my wife's out of town right now. She'd rather talk to her parents than me. Is that anything? Because I can't, I don't know. Honey, you trying to ask me for sex? Well, I don't know. Never mind. I'm leaving. So I know how tough it is. We all do. Now the answer is get a gun. Is that the answer? Oh, okay. Well, why not? Why wouldn't that be the answer? That's how you solve the problem. You pick up a gun, you blow somebody away. Pick up a gun and put a bullet in them. Pick up a gun and cap somebody. Whatever. All right, so I'm all out of philosophizing. I guess I better go to another phone call here. Kirk, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, last week you were... And I'm not as funny as you are. I won't try to be. But you were commenting on the Hollywood Walk of Fame about how you have all these pathetic people who have stars, and you were...
Yeah, I always thought the Hollywood Walk of Fame should be for movie stars.
Exactly. That was my impression, too. But recently I saw something on one of the cable channels, and what they said was that it's not actually like an honor to receive the star. It's quite the reverse. Your agent or a producer of a film that you might be starring in, they actually approach a Hollywood committee, and I don't remember what the committee is, and they buy these stars
right
on the sidewalk for the alleged famous person.
The alleged celebrity, yeah.
Exactly.
And I like that term, alleged celebrity.
And so, you know, a lot of times when these people, when their career is taking a dive,
yeah,
somebody will buy a star for them to try to boost them up.
You know what? I heard about that too, man. You do have to pay for it. And you get nominated, and then I don't know what else. There's got to be some other process, because if that's the case, let's get Craig Taylor a star in the Walk of Fame. I just want to see if I can get Craig Taylor.
You probably could.
Really?
You probably could.
Bob Forn of Bob Forn Ford, okay?
Essentially, it's just another way of raising money. It's just more tax revenue.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But You know, they make some bread for Hollywood, and I don't know. I mean, the whole thing looks kind of funky anyway, but although they're going to revitalize that, and it's all going to be like pedestrian only. Have you heard about that? That whole thing, all of that Walk of Fame and all that crap down there is going to be pedestrian only. They're going to do a whole promenade, Third Street promenade thing down there.
Wow, which, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it'll probably be cool, but I remember when I was a kid walking down the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I'm looking at these stars, it's like Greta Garbo and Clark Gable, all these heavyweights. I'm thinking, this is cool.
Something.
It meant something, man.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down there with all due respect to the very fine, you know, he's a nice guy, very talented guy. Rick Dees, come on, Rick, you know as well as I do, man. You know, the freaking star, man. Jay Thomas and, what is another? Dick Van Patten? Why? Give me a star.
They just don't have the same power.
Right. But and then they have these pictures in the book. And the lady who sent me the book, I promise I'll bring her name in tomorrow. She's a really nice lady. She wrote the book, did a lot of research. It's really interesting because all of the history of the individual artists is on there. But then they show the people, and they're all really jazzed, you know, that they've got this star. And I'm thinking, you're jazzed? And if somebody ever tried to give me a star on a Hollywood star, a Walk of Fame, I would turn it down. I would just because I didn't wouldn't want to be seen as some interloping swine.
Maybe they could give you a star only as R.C. Collins or something other than that.
Jesus. Imagine him, you know, showing up for
Margaret
that.
Margaret Gray.
Yeah, there you go. All right, brother.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Bye. One more call. Shonda, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
Just wanted to add to this conversation about the kids.
Yeah?
You know, I think that these kids all need to see, like, I think every kid needs to see more of, like, harsh reality of, like, real life. I mean, they don't need to sugarcoat these newscasts or anything. When somebody gets blown away, they need to show it to them. And, you know, because
But that's not really seeing it.
Well, no, I agree with you, but I think that a little bit of reality could maybe...
What they need, Shonda, is not see a newscast of a real violent death. They need to see a real violent death.
I fully agree.
You know, then, well, what am I saying? Those kids in Columbine did. Scared straight? What's that supposed to be? Craig,
hey,
are you talking about scared
worked.
Straight?
It worked, didn't it? I mean,
scared straight. I don't know if scared straight worked because there's still people going to jail.
No, I agree.
You know, but I think that, like my kids the other day, or not the other day, it was back on. We were at their grandparents' house for, I guess it was Thanksgiving or something, and it was a freeway chase. You know, one of those typical freeway chases that ended with the cops shooting the guy and he died, and then they went back to the cartoons. You know, or whatever the kids were watching. They were watching a movie. Well, that concludes this. The man's been blown away. I'm Hal Fishbeck. Thank you, and screw you. And then they went back to the Martha Stewart Easy Living show, right? And it was like something out of Fahrenheit 451. I had to walk into the living room, and I said, do you guys know what you just saw? I asked the kids. I said, do you know what you just saw? Yeah, we know. What? The cop shot that guy. And I got to think that if they actually saw it in real life, they'd all be wetting their pants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But because they saw it on TV, they didn't give a crap.
You know, I have to say, though, when just a few years ago when I was in high school, they, like, took us to the jail and took us to the morgue, and we were, like, seeing dead bodies and prisoners and everything. And these people were, like, saying the most horrible things to us. And you know what? It kind of made me think that I didn't want to be there and, you know, maybe diverted me a little bit. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you're there, Shonda, in Moreno Valley. Now you have that grain and feed business, and you're doing great.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling. Bye. Yes, another story, Shonda. Shonda made it out. But will you? Shonda has the feed and grain business, but what have you got? She lives in Moreno Valley now. She gets the eggs from the chickens every morning, goes down the road to the stand and sells them, polishes up the buttons on her shoes once a year, goes out to the Rose Bowl game, treats her elderly parents to a ride into town in the old Model A. Sure, Shonda's okay. But what about you? Next time someone looks at you cross-eyed, what are you going to do? Pass it off with a laugh or pick up that salad fork and drive it deep into their thorax? What will it be? Shonda goes to the flea market at the Rose Bowl on Sundays. On Saturday, she takes her grandmother, elderly though she may be, bent though she may be with the osteoporosis, to the farmer's market there in the town square, where her grandmother picks up the melon and goes,
Holy Jesus, honeydew, white man's watermelon.
Marvelous moments like that are shared. But not you. No, not you. You'll let your kids watch all that crap on TV. And remember, when your kids are watching all that crap on TV and picking up a gun and saying, oh, I'll be right back, Mom. I just wanted to go pay some of my friends a visit. Remember, it's the Phil Hendry Show every day on this station. Okay, 1-800-449. We guarantee if your kid's listening to this show, he's not out shooting people. And that's, you know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Continually amazed and appalled by this mother. At first, I called immediately when I heard that you weren't a parent, so you couldn't possibly know what it feels like.
No, he couldn't.
To be disappointed when your child doesn't get something. Well, I am a mother, and I know what it feels like. And I never want to know what it feels like to lose one of my children.
Then
I just think you are a sick woman.
Oh.
If you shower with your son,
your son needs to be taken from you to make it to the audition.
That is disgusting. Not to mention, you cried for two days? Why didn't he cry for 2 days? You're too wrapped up in your son's life, and you need to get a life of your own.
I guess you're jealous because your children have never been up for the Harry Potter films.
Well, come on, don't go there. My children didn't lose the part either, or they're not going to make some World Check in Space number 2, which the first one was horrible, and the second one probably will be too.
Love
if I were a producer, director, or anybody in that industry and were listening to you on the phone, I would make sure that Jason J. Dell, whoever the hell he is, would never be cast in anything for fear of having to deal with you.
You know something? Are you done? Because your cruelty, you must be a very unhappy woman.
She's made some very good points.
You're cruel.
What you are saying about these people who have lost children is outrageous. And it disgusts me, and that's why I have called.
It disgusts you?
Yes.
Have you ever lived through a child not
getting... Have you ever lost a
one
child?
One of the top Campbell's soup...
Have you ever lost a child?
He lost the part in the Campbell's
soup. Have you lost a child?
Yes,
have you put a child in the ground?
If Jason J. Delmonico does not get the part in Harry Potter, in a way, I've lost the part. The more you say his name, the more I'm going to remember it
because I'm never going to go see anything he's in.
Do you hear what you're doing? Do you hear what you're doing to this woman? Well, here's a woman who doesn't...
She's a woman who obviously has a great deal of bitterness because Jason J. Delmonico...
I don't even know your kid, nor do I care.
You know something? I'm really resentful. What are you inferring just because I shower with my son?